Every single time we get an opportunity to worship together, we should not forget that it is a time to present ourselves to God. To say, Lord, here I am. I want to, just like a birthday present, say, here you go. Here's my life. For you. I belong to you. Just a few things I want to make sure we get done from some reminders. We have Activate serving in Grace Kids today. Okay, so if you're in Activate, you're serving with Grace Kids. We have this time where we're going to be having communion later on at the end of the service. So be aware of that. I just want to take some time to pray over you guys as you go out for your classes. But also pray over the offering. So there are boxes on the walls there in the back. There's a kiosk in the back. However you choose to give. But we want to present ourselves to God with everything that we have. So can we just pray over these kids as they go, but also over the giving, over the finances that we have, and we're just going to present ourselves to God that way. Lord, I thank you for each of these children that you have blessed us with. Lord, you have fashioned each one of them in the secret place. So, Lord, we thank you for your hand upon each of their lives. We ask, Lord, that you would speak powerfully to them. Lord, that there would be encounters with you, living God. Lord, that it wouldn't just be a Sunday school lesson, it wouldn't just be serving in some capacity, but it would be meeting with you, Lord, your presence. Holy Spirit, we ask for transforming work. Lord, I ask also, Lord, over the finances in our church, we thank you for each one who gives, Lord, and I thank you for their generosity. Lord, I ask that you would bless them abundantly. Lord, that there would be an overflow, Lord God, of the things that you have given to us. Lord, that you would help us steward the things that you've given us well. Help us with these things, Lord, for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Grace Kids and Activate, you guys can head on out. And thank you to all of our wonderful teachers and people who help with serving our children. Thank you so much. So today, as we get started, I just wanted to take a couple moments to just make this available. If there is something that God's been doing in your life that is praiseworthy. So whenever the church gathers, it is a good time for us to share what God's been doing in our lives, okay? And especially when it comes to addressing the whole church, it is useful to say, hey, this is what God has done in my life, and it is worthy of God's praise. So God is worthy to be praised, and I want to give him glory for this. So is there something that God's been doing in your life? I don't want five-minute testimonies. I just want the one-minute version. Okay, so it's like countdown. Ding, ding. Okay, so if you have a short testimony that you want to share about what God's been doing in your life, just put your hand up and I'll bring this to you. Yep.
This is a long-term testimony. We just celebrated 51 years of marriage, and that is
woo-hoo!
Lovely. Yeah, that's great, but it is only due to the grace of God. Only due to the grace of God. But we are happier now than we've ever been. We went through some rocky times, and God is faithful. He just
Amen.
Is.
That is awesome. Thank you, Jesus.
God has blessed me with a new home.
Wow.
A home where I can do my laundry in my own apartment, and I cannot thank him enough. I walk through the apartment, and I think God, I don't deserve this. And God very clearly says, yes, you do.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else?
I have been made aware that it is in the daily doing and surrendering and saying yes that we can say, yes, he has been faithful. He is always faithful, but he's teaching us to be faithful as well.
Yeah. That is awesome. These are great. These are like 20 seconds or less. That's even better.
Buckle up. No, I'm just kidding. We've been gone for a couple of weeks, and we just got back
And there were a couple of moments on this trip that we were on as a family where we encountered people, and these were just very obviously appointments that God made with strangers, and those are things that would not have happened without his hand, and that was just very obvious, and so I want to give him glory for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
So I've been looking for just a new opportunity for employment for months now, and there was a job application I put in a couple months ago that I just got word on, and it's whenever I quit putting effort in on my part and just let God take hold of everything, I got a call and an interview opportunity for this job that I kind of gave up hope on, so it's pretty great.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, last one.
Second version. Last week, Felicia and I became parents. Said last week, Felicia and I became.
Yeah, you got to do it with your chest.
Chest.
Yeah, come on.
With my chest.
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Last week, Felicia and I became parents.
We're so excited for you guys. Okay, as we get into the Word, for those of you who don't know who I am, I see a few new faces. My name is Judah. I'm one of the pastors here at Word of Grace, and I get to share with you all of August, and I've been really, really blessed to see what God's been giving us as a church together. In this past series, which Bob was teaching on, where we dealt with the whole idea of the new creation, but what it means to be made new in Christ and to live out of that rather than to just acknowledge it as, oh, I guess Jesus saved me from my old life, to actually living in this new reality. Okay? So that is something that we were working with over the last few weeks. So I was asking the Lord, like, how do I respond to this new, just give me 1 second, let me put my phone on, do not disturb. Reminder for anyone else. How we navigate this season as a church, how we navigate this season as families. It's an important time period that we're living in. It's a time like no other. And there's so much going on, and we see the intensity of things that are happening within the church and also outside of the church. And we need to be prepared for moving with God as he moves. So this series is dedicated to helping us see what the word yield that we started this year off. So if you know that we typically at Word of Grace do a theme for the year, and our theme for 2025 was yield. What does it mean to surrender to God? What does it mean to give up our lives to the Lord? So to simplify that, we've been going through just little aspects of what surrender looks like. What does it mean to yield to the new creation that God has called you to be? So I want to work in, how do we yield to the move of God in the church? The church is a very unique group of people, but there are so many misconceptions and preconceptions that we have about what the church is. And very often, we are coming to an experience that we already know is going to happen in a certain way. So when we say you're coming to meet with the Church of Jesus Christ, it's almost like there is no room for anything that wasn't part of your plan. So how do we make room for Jesus in the church? When God moves in his church, it often doesn't come in the ways that we would expect it or the way we would authorize. And that's very, very unnerving for us sometimes. Because I expect to come in here at 10:30, and after a few songs, somebody gets up and will talk to us about the Bible, And when they're done, hopefully on time, I can go back and have my lunch. Rinse. Repeat. Next Sunday. Let's come back and do the same thing. And while that's just a caricature of what's happening, if I asked you honestly, do we pause to think, when I came this morning, I'm asking myself this question, did I come expecting Jesus to be in the room? Or was I just thinking about the service? Did I actually think, I'm going to be meeting the King who is in the room? This is his room. This is why we call this the gathering of the churches, where Jesus is enthroned, where Jesus is glorified. And sometimes it's just by the way. It just happens by the way that, yeah, I mean, it's a church. What else are you going to do? It is about Jesus, right? Yes and no. We can do a lot of talking. We can do a lot of singing. But there isn't much room for the one we call King. So I want to go back to a scripture in Mark chapter 1. This is going back to the first time Jesus came. Before Jesus came, there was his cousin, John the Baptist, born to Elizabeth and Zechariah. And it says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that's the first verse, as it is written in Isaiah, the prophet said, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. So this is a very crucial phrasing, and it's a very crucial thing to remember, that when a king or a regent or a governor or a big official comes through, there is an advanced team that goes to prepare the way. In our context, in 2025, we are used to this during campaign season. There's a lot that happens with advanced teams before a candidate comes through town. And if that candidate actually holds a certain office, there is even more hoopla that goes around with, right? Why is that? Because you cannot have certain things going sideways. It needs to be, first of all, secure, but also in the context of celebrity culture that we're used to, right, in our country, if you're an actor or something, you can't just be around people just like normal, because everyone's crowding you out, everyone wants an autograph, everyone wants something. There's like, you need to make sure that there is a path for them to get from A to B. So now, take that and assume that this is a place where the king has entered. But we already have our chairs set up. We already have everything. We got our service lined up. And he's like, I'm coming through town. And you're like, yeah, it's okay. You can have like a 5-minute segment at the end if you want to do a shout out or something. Do you see that concept that we have of trying to accommodate something that wasn't part of the plan? We forget that the church is gathered. The plan is meeting with him. That was the plan. That's plan A. But somewhere along the line, it's become plan Z. Not intentionally. It's because, I mean, chop, chop. I mean, what is your series? Let's get on with the series, or let's get on with kids ministry. Let's get on with worship. And how many songs do we have today? And is the room cool enough today? And all of those things. So easily we drift into that. And we don't even see it happening. So when Jesus walks through the room, he's saying, I've sent someone ahead to prepare the way. In the context of the New Testament, and I'm going to go through this here in a second, it's about people who have been made new. And you are made new by the work of God, by his Holy Spirit. It is not something that you and I did because of affiliation. And this is something that I need to make sure is clear and fleshed out properly so that we understand what constitutes the church. It's not people who decided to join Word of Grace on Sunday morning at 10:30. Hey, great, so good to see you. Glad you're here. Word of Grace is not the church. We're a part of the church. The church is anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And that is a critical distinction. Read with me in John chapter 3. Jesus answered, and this is, he's talking to Nicodemus, who is, just so you know the context, he's a guy who could teach Bible backwards. He knew everything that the Bible said. He knew the scriptures through and through. And this guy was confused about what Jesus was up to. He was talking about the kingdom of God and knowing God and understanding God. And Jesus replies to him and says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Just that statement alone should make you pause. Because when we gather as the church, we're saying what? This is where Jesus reigns. This is where Jesus rules. It is not just for anyone who decided to show up on Sunday. Now, our church meetings are centered around saying, hey, there are people who are, you know, meeting with Jesus on the street, and I was sharing my testimony with a friend at work, and I'd love for them to be here. Absolutely. Anybody is welcome. This is an open house. The house does not make the church. The people make the church. And there are certain people who are visiting the church. Put it in another way. I have you over to my home for dinner. You're a friend who has decided to come to my home for dinner. Are you family? I will treat you like a really good host and make you feel welcome. But are you family? Did I give birth to you? Did I have something to do with you being created? No. You're someone who is visiting my family. You're not a Thomas. No matter how many, I mean, you could look brown, you could look white, you could look, I mean, we've got the whole mix in our family, but you could look any way you would want to, but you cannot be my family. No matter how much I love you. Right? So, in the context of God's family, he's saying, unless you are born again, you cannot see my kingdom. So it's not about whether you got to attend church. It's not about whether you went through enough Bible classes to get membership in, depending on your background and what kind of church you've been involved with previously. Sometimes there is a membership class, and then after you've tithed for a certain number of years, you can get on the church rolls. Or if you've, there are all kinds of things that churches do. None of that can make you part of the church. And none of that can exclude you from the church either. Hello? That is the awesome thing about what Jesus did. He says it is not going to be on the basis of something you could do. It'll be something on the basis that the Holy Spirit has done, which is make you reborn. And now your birth right is part of the kingdom. No matter whether you're someone in the midst of Iran, going through persecution, there is no church meetings, there is nothing. Jesus has convicted you. You've given your life to Jesus. You're brand new. You're in the church. You're part of the body of Christ. This is what it means to be the church. It is not about church services. It never was about church services. Go ask the early church that. If they got to have a gathering like this, big bonus. More often, it was meeting together wherever they could, in groups. And then when there was a larger gathering, yay, let's do this. We get to celebrate Jesus together. And there are gifts that God has given to different parts of the church. And I'm not saying Word of Grace. In Indiana, in the region, in Pennsylvania, in United States, and in the world. Gifts that we don't even possess yet. In God's manifold wisdom, he's saying for this part, in Iran, in Thailand, in Morocco, in London, in Indiana, PA, there are different things that are needed, and I will build the church there. But these are not people who by affiliation decided to show up. These are people who have been transformed from the inside, who are a new creation in Christ. So when we say yes, when we say I surrender all, I am not asking that friend who you brought to a church meeting to surrender all. That is not a legitimate ask. Do you see how the church has flipped the script and tried to make this a vanilla thing that everyone has to do? You cannot do that, to require of the world something that God has called his children to. Now, on the other hand, when the Holy Spirit convicts that friend and they say, I believe I need a Savior, and I have given my life to Jesus. I've surrendered. That initial surrender of saying, I commit my life to Christ, he says, you're in the church. And now, he says, now I begin forming you in the likeness of Christ. It's an everyday thing. You're no longer called a sinner, but every place of sin that remains in your life is addressed. Why? Because you're a new creation. You do not live based on that old way. So why am I saying all this? Because when we talk about preparing the way for the move of God in the church, we often are talking at two different things. We're talking about new people coming in and being welcome and being part of what we have here. And at the same time, the church is not growing in maturity. So we seek after the things of God, but don't seek after it at the same time. Why? Because we all can't do that. Making way for the king means a surrender, first of all, of his children. And we're very clear, it's not vague, that this is, I belong to Jesus. So if you're sitting in this room and you've not made a commitment to follow Jesus, I would urge you to do that today. If you're someone who's just trying it out for size, stop trying it out for size. Jesus wants all of you. Now, I love that we're a family kind of church that says, we make friends with everybody and we love to have everybody here. But we need to be about the Father's business. We need to be about preparing the way for the coming of the king. Because the same way we saw him go, he said, I'm coming again. So the church has to be about something that is more than church services, or more than men's breakfasts, or men's Bible studies, or women's spring flings, or, you know, we make up all kinds of things. And it's all good. But if we forget that this is for the maturing of the body of Christ, so that each part that does its work, the Holy Spirit can move through. And what is the Holy Spirit doing? Preparing the way. There is a king who is coming. And he, by his presence, says, I'm going to send the forerunner. It's no longer John the Baptist. It is the Holy Spirit-filled church who's saying every single place, every high place has to be brought low. So guess what has, where's the places that first need to be brought low? In the church. The problem is we're busy trying to bring high places down outside the church. Let's start in here. Low places, which are not formed in the new creation of what God has made us, which says, no, I'm nothing, we don't got anything, we are just a small church, and we... Those low places need to be brought level. So that the move of God is not on the basis of any human expertise, is not on the basis of any human understanding, but only the Spirit of God moving. In Ezekiel 36, verse 25, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and careful to obey my rules. Do you see, this is talking about a totally new set of people. It is not, hey, anybody can do this. Anybody can come along. No. Because it is talking about a very unique set of people. Do you see how the pressure we place on a society that is not in connection with God is absurd? I do not expect the world to have my idea of the sanctity of marriage or what it means to walk with God in wholeness. All of these things, I don't expect it from my friends out there. It is my expectation for my life, yes. And I would love to see it flourish, but I do not expect it of them. I expect it in the house of God. And as we live lives that model, that creates an abrasion with the world that we're up against. But if our lives are so conveniently placed or juxtaposed, like side by side with what the world is doing, that it doesn't look any different, obviously they're going to be like, oh, well, you're fine with everything. I am not fine with everything. You stick out like a sore thumb. But there's a reason for that. There is a reason, because I have been made new. I cannot live my life on the basis of what I feel is right or what I feel is passable. I've been asked to lay my life down completely. This leads me to the book of Revelation. When you read through the book of Revelation, you start to see, first of all, this is a revelation of what? Of Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the end times. The problem is everyone tries to make it an end times book. It does talk about the end times, but it is talking about the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and the things that will follow. But one of the things you will notice in the first few chapters of Revelation is Jesus, the one who is seated on the throne, talks to the ones who guard each of the churches. He talks to the seven churches. And you know what is the common theme? So the church at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. All of these churches have certain things going for them, and then there are certain things that need to be addressed. And you know what the common theme is right through all of them? You have decided to sully yourselves with accommodating some of whatever's going on. You think it's okay to just, like, let's just make it okay for whatever we're all doing. Let's not make any waves. Let's just accommodate. To the church in Sardis, the rebuke was, you look like you're alive, but you're dead. To the church in Laodicea, he says, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're just lukewarm. It's like the kind of soup you want to spit out. And with some of the other churches, you see the spirit of idolatry, the spirit of of accommodating other forms of worship. Why? Because it's, come on, it's part of culture. It's what we do. I mean, come on, can't you be understanding? Who are we preparing the way for? A comfortable life? A life that makes sense for me? So what I'm challenging you with today is what we are belonging to is the Lordship of Jesus. What he did on the cross is something that we center our lives on, and we're not saying it from a dogmatic religious standpoint, but my heart is completely convinced that I have died. I've been crucified with him. So I'm no longer living. So there are things that I have to lay down. There will be times when I'm in the community, and because of my stand for marriage, it starts to lose. I lose friends because of it. Or my stand on sexuality leads me to lose favor with certain people. Or my stand on how I handle finances and integrity and ethics loses me certain things. That is what it meant when you were saying yes to the mountain, yes to the in the desert. Guess what? You might have to walk through a desert where all those deals dry up. Or it might be rocky terrain. But he's also the same God who says, I will take you by green pastures and still waters. I will restore your soul. So regardless of what I'm going through, I belong to him. But I'm not in this to try and save the best version of myself for me. It's going to cost, but he's not trying to extract anything from his church. What he wants is a city that is set on a hill. That the world looks at and says, those people are weird and different. Not, oh, look how much they fit into what we all do. Do you see the point I'm trying to make this contrast so clear that you're not like, oh, maybe he was saying that. No, I am not saying anything close to trying to make it similar. The church and the world have nothing in common. One kingdom that you were born into, you have to be born out of and born again into another one. This is not something a men's breakfast solves. Are you hearing me? This is not something morning church service solves. This is a work of the Spirit. And when I have surrendered, now we're talking business. Now we're saying we are holding you to the standard of someone who is a follower of Christ. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, you're now someone who's willing to count the cost of discipleship. It's not an easy thing, but it's something I'm content doing because it is no longer I. In Revelation 22, verse 17, now this is right at the end of the book. This is the last few phrases in the Bible that we have. And this is the posture of the Holy Spirit and the church. So when you see the word bride, we're talking about the church of Jesus Christ. Watch the language here. And it says, this is right at the end of the book, and it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. Jesus says, I'm coming soon, and his Spirit, together with the bride, is saying, Lord, come. Come here. So we're not passive about his return. We're not passive about making things ready. If you were the advance team to something that was about to happen, how would you behave? Oh, it's Sunday again, I guess. Oh, it's Tuesday morning prayer, I guess. There is an urgency. There are things that are happening every single day in people's lives. People who need to be saved. in Indiana County. But all of these things happen by the one who cries out in the wilderness saying, prepare the way of the Lord. And just before all of us get all, oh, that means I need to be doing more. And yeah, God takes that and he says, you don't get to do any of this. This will be a work of my spirit. In Acts chapter 1, if you've got your Bible, in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is like just drawing circles from Jerusalem where this movement started to keep drawing concentric circles out further out all the way till you hit the whole earth. And Jesus is saying that this message, this gospel will go out through people like you and me. But on what basis? On the basis of surrendering completely to the work of the Spirit. In John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. How many of you have seen rivers work? Have you been to a river? When a river moves, it moves where it wants to move. And when there is a bank, banks erode as the water moves. Water has a way of charting its course. The land has something to do with it, but there are times where if the land doesn't give, the land has to give eventually. Now the issue is, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And he called these people together, the church. Where is the water moving? On stage? Through that one person that everyone comes to watch every week? Hello? Do you see how the construct we have created of what church looks like is not one that is conducive to God moving? We're so convinced that it operates through this one person here or that person who does that. And forget that there are rivers, there are streams of water flowing all through this church. And we must make room for each one. Each of us. So as we go through the next few weeks, I'm going to go through the posture of what it means for us as a church to yield, to be those banks that go, the water's moving this way, I need to get out of the way, rather than try and put myself up against it. How do I become a channel of God's grace? So that it doesn't become this big effort-based thing that we're trying to draw people or save people and this is the mission of the church and we get all militant. No. It is by grace that you have been saved. And it is a work of God's grace in you. And as God's grace starts to chart a course, we as the church say, I see God move, so I get out of the way. The moment I get out of the way, the grace of God can move. Can we have the communion team come up? We're going to share in communion together. And one of the things that I want us to keep track of as we're doing this is the same way we receive the bread and the juice, we're saying, Lord, you have the final say in my life. As I receive the bread, I recognize that I have been joined to you. Your body was broken that I might be made part of who you are. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at this from 1 Corinthians and Ephesians. And you start to see in 1 Corinthians, it says you are all different. You're all unique. But God has made us part of one body. And that is the body of Christ. What we are handling here is not for anyone who doesn't call Jesus Lord. So if you are someone in this room who needs to commit your life to Jesus, I would urge you, take this moment to say, Lord, I want to give you my life. I want to be someone who receives everything that you have. If you would like to wait, hold off, and come and talk to me after the service, please feel free to do that. But I want you to do this with sincerity. When we take communion, this isn't just a religious ceremony. This isn't just one of those things church people do. We're saying Jesus is the center of what my life is about. It is no longer me. So when you take this bread, you are saying this bread represents the body of Christ. The brokenness of his body that I might receive wholeness in my own body. Okay, so if you're sick in any place in your body, you're saying, I want to receive the wholeness of Jesus for me. But on a much bigger level, this is not just about you. You are a part of a whole. You are a part of me. I am a part of you. There is a part of me that needs to respond to the work of Christ in Dom. God has joined me together with this brother. God has joined me together with this sister that I often, I don't know, man. Guess what? I'm married to one of these sisters. Right? And I have to respond to the work of Christ in my wife. It's hard. There are days where I'm like, no, I got my own body. He's like, no, you're part of this body. Which is why when we touch on this later on, in Ephesians 5, it tells us, before it talks about husbands and wives, in verse 21 it says, out of the fear of the Lord, submit yourselves to one another. How can I yield my life to my wife or my children who get on my nerves often? I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm honoring the work of Jesus. So when you take this right now, let's just take the bread first and say, Lord, I want to honor what you have done. First of all, in my body, that I might receive the wholeness of Jesus, but also for us as a body of believers, that I might receive each one as you have. Receive it right now. Similarly, the cup represents the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness and gives us new life. So two things. It cleanses us of all unrighteousness, and it is the life force that flows through us. Is there anything in your life that accuses you? That says you are forgotten or you are too far from God. God cannot deal with you. As you receive this, you're saying, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word over my life. I have been born again. It's not me who lives anymore. It is the Jesus person in me that lives. This new creation that he has called me to be, that is who lives. So I receive that, and I receive it for every part of my body that is saying, no, but you don't have healing here. Oh, no, but you did that. The blood of Jesus, it covers you. And it is also the life that imparts to you everything that Jesus has. So right now, sitting in this room, are different parts of the body of Christ, and his life is flowing to each one. So say, Lord, I want to receive that. So let's receive that together. Lord, we thank you that your blood speaks a better word over each one in this room. So, Lord, we prepare the way for the King who is in the room. Lord, we want to make room in our heart for you. We want to make room in the way we operate and set up our lives. We organize ourselves around what you are doing. Help us, Lord, to say yes to you. Help us with our yes, Lord. Lord, for each one in this room, I ask that you'd help us with our yes. We do not want to do any of this in our striving. Lord, and I stand against any word that accuses people, that tries to draw people into a place of condemnation. But Lord, I ask for a deep conviction. Holy Spirit, I ask for a convicting word that will set people free. Lord, a convicting word that draws them into the power of what you have called them to. That we would no longer play it safe, that we would no longer sit on the sides, Lord, saying God will do something if he wants to. But Lord, I ask that you'd help us say yes to you willingly. We thank you, Lord God, for the work of the cross that speaks this over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.